My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports KC NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley along with Chris Unocero, the Character Concerns crew, the crew that's been doing a draft podcast for well over a year now. Started last year, kept going through the summer, kept going there. We're doing the NFL Draft Specials like we've done the last several years to get you ready for the NFL Draft. It was fun last year because it was in Kansas City. I think it's going to be even more fun now. It's in Detroit because it's an offensive draft, so you just have fun wherever it is. I love the NFL draft, whether it doesn't matter when it is, but or where it is. It was fun in Kansas City for sure, but it's going to be fun once again in Detroit coming up here. 2 weeks from the night. 2 weeks from the night is the first round of the NFL draft. We'll have 5 hours of coverage for you. Five plus. Hours of coverage on that. Of course, the NFL draft party at the Landing, 610 Sports Radio's Landing in Liberty on Thursday, brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Going to be a bracket contest. Fill them out. You can win $610.
Not a bracket. A mock draft contest.
Mock draft.
We're not doing any brackets.
I get NCAA tournament in my brain, man. Mock draft. So it's you fill it out. $610 or Chiefs autographed merchandise. All the 610 staff in attendance. Chris and I, the Character Concerns crew, will be doing we've got about 16 and a half live average of coverage. Is that right, Chris? Because we got five plus the first night.
I don't know. I haven't done the math. It's going to be a lot. We're going to be on basically the entirety of the first two nights, and then we'll be on until mid afternoon on Saturday.
Well, you're the soccer guy, Chris. The extra time. So as it said, 5 hours Friday. It's 10 plus we get four on Saturday,
It'll be more than 5 hours on Thursday. We were here till past midnight on the first night of the draft last year. So
last week we got cut off because the Royals playing in Baltimore and the delay, little comeback by Baltimore. And then of course the Royals have won seven straight, going out and crushing people. And by the way, beat those Houston Astros again, who they were 5-1 against last year, 3-0 this year. That's 8 of the last 9, but more of that a different day. This is an NFL draft special. Don't forget, we had multiple picks by three teams, the Bears, the Cardinals, the Vikings, teams that don't have a first-round pick, the Browns, the Panthers, the Texans. Most overall picks, the Cardinals, the Rams, the Packers, with 11. Fewest, the Bears, with only 4. Field Yates put those together for us to have a little fun. What's going on, Chris?
I'm good. This whole draft season's kind of flown by. And so, I knew that it was 2 weeks away, but like the realization hasn't hit me. So it's like, now we gotta really buckle down and get on our toes and make sure we've got all our stuff going, because like once we get to the landing on Thursday, like things are gonna move really quickly. So I'm really excited about it, and you know, this time of year is really fun to kind of speculate on what's gonna happen there. And yeah, I'm really excited about what we're going to be doing here over the next couple weeks.
Early in the draft is going to be really interesting. Teams like the Vikings, the Commanders, the Patriots, that kind of deal. These teams with two picks in the first round. As I mentioned, with the there's three teams that have multiple picks. The Bears have 1-9. The Cards 4-27. The Vikings 11-23. They'll do some moving and shaking. We've seen some draft day trades, and we're going to see a bunch this year. The set draft order is not the way it's going to be. It's going to be very interesting to see what the Kansas City Chiefs do at 32, because once again, they're picking 32nd, and we'll get into confidence of Brett Veach coming up here at 6:15, because just some numbers that might blow your mind when it comes to the Chiefs and the NFL draft. Chris, I've looked at more mock drafts, and I looked at 41 of them earlier, and we'll bring those up around 6:30 to find out what people are saying about the Chiefs, which direction they're going. But a little spoiler alert right now. Pete Prisco, man, CBS, right? And yeah, I don't mean to pick on Pete. Well, I don't care. Pete's been a Chiefs hater, whatever.
Yeah, he's been hating on the Chiefs for a while.
Earlier this month, this short month of April, it's the 11th already, he put out a mock draft before. He had A.D. Mitchell. Okay, good. Good selection for the Chiefs. Today he puts one out, or actually it was yesterday, it was on the 10th. So the Rashee Rice deal has already been done. I liked what he went the first direction. He had Nate Wiggins, cornerback at Clemson. And Chris, I just want to pound my head. There's been some very reputable people have the Chiefs getting a corner or a safety in round one. I'm sitting here saying, all year from September, you say, oh, this team needs a wide receiver. They lead the NFL and drop the new wide receiver. Then Rashee Rice has his issue, and we still don't know that what the resolution of that's going to be. It doesn't look good.
I think we have an idea. I think we have an idea what that'll be.
I'm still on wide receiver even before the Rashee Rice deal. Hell, he could have been at Disneyland. That still would have been a wide receiver for me. But that's the reality. He is going to miss games, whether it's this year or next year. I assume it'd probably be this year. Which direction are you going to go? Hollywood Brown's here for the Chiefs. That's not the end-all, be-all. This is a Chiefs draft, wide receiver draft. Mel Kiper put his mock out. He's got the Chiefs going wide receiver in the first round, which is good. That's what Mel Kiper has. This guy that you don't like, Chris, and we'll get to that get later. But I kind of like the guy. But we'll talk about that coming up here at about 6:30. But he's got his mock out today. It's got the Chiefs, the wide receiver. He's got seven receivers going in the first round. As we've said, the record is seven. Back in 2004, 2020 was a record 13 in the first and second round. I think we're going to eclipse both. I think we could have eight receivers in the first round. I think we're definitely going to have more than 13 in the first two rounds.
I certainly think it's possible, but it would not shock me if some of the guys kind of fell out of it. Wouldn't shock me if Worthy ended up, you know, an early second, because I think there might be some teams that have concerns about his weight. And I'm not sure that if Worthy and A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr. are off the board before the Chiefs pick, I'm not sure they go wide receiver first round. I wouldn't be shocked if they traded out. That's kind of why I think, considering how many teams need receivers now, it makes a lot of sense, I think, for them to be aggressive in going and moving up and getting that position, because I do think there will be at least six of them going in the first round. But, the whole, you know, a corner in the first round, I'm not buying that. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, there's going to be people that are going to pick the Chiefs to take a corner because of the whole Legarius Sneed situation, not understanding the Chiefs have a lot of pretty good depth at the corner position.
And drafted a guy, moved up in the fourth round to get a guy that does a lot of the same skill set things.
And
Shamari Connor.
And I think that the Chiefs are one of those teams that, like, they accounted for losing Legarius Sneed the last couple years. I think they knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, they drafted him and he's gone.
Right. I think they drafted 2 years ago knowing he was gone. And so really, like, why would they panic now and use a first-round pick on a corner? I know, unless you're talking about, like, a Cooper DeJean or someone falling to them a la what happened with McDuffie 2 years ago. I could see that being the case. But, you know, if like Nate Wiggins is sitting there at 32, I don't think they take him. Like, I think this, and also, like, you know, schematically, I don't know if he's a fit. I don't know if he is that press man cover corner that the Chiefs like. I kind of seem he's a smaller guy. I think he's going to be more of a zone guy than he is straight man cover press guy. And so, yeah, I'm not sure that that he fits in with what they're looking for at corner anyways. But yeah, I think if they go corner, probably day three, probably a guy like a Legarius Sneed, who was a great athlete at a smaller school, and they can kind of develop him into the kind of guy that they want. But I'm not sure that they're going to go take one of those corners in the first round.
It seems to me it's like, okay, with the Rashee Rice deal, it becomes more evident. Are you going to rely on Sky Moore? Hey, we all hope he's going to get better in year three. You look at the development and say, okay, hopefully he gets better. You know, Justin Watson still under contract with this team, but get players that can move the ball down the field. Chris, I think the running on receivers will be interesting when that happens. If all of a sudden, and I do think Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell should go before Xavier Worthy, but let's say that second tier. That first tier is clearly Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Romo Dunze, and I think in that order, I'd go Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, then Romo Dunze. That second group, I think, is Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. And then you got Ladd McConkey, the Xavier Legettes, that kind of group. Maybe Ricky Pearsall at the end.
Tez is, I think, in that group.
DeMontez Walker's definitely in that group because he had a lot of drops. He had over 9 drops in the Senior Bowl. Yeah. You and I both like
him. Yeah. But yeah, he had like especially that day two for the Senior Bowl.
But the one thing about him is he's a vertical threat. He might be the most vertical guy in this draft, to be honest with you. Maybe the biggest deep threat here. I mean, he's a yards after catch guy. He's a down the field guy. I mean, there's a lot of potential in DeMontez Walker. That's 100% what you're going to get from him. But Xavier Worthy, not buying it in front of Brian Thomas. I don't know why, but Brian Thomas is slipping. We've seen a couple mocks, and we'll get into it. Like I said, we looked at 41 the last couple of days that came out. And, yes, there are still some people that filter in some Brian Thomas to the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that might be a pipe dream because if they want him, they're going to have to move up. If there is a serious run, Chris, where all of a sudden the first two tiers, like I said, are gone, you know tier one's going to be gone. Will tier two be gone by the time the Chiefs pick? Will they panic and have to move up to 27th? And then it becomes, and because I talked to Rob about this yesterday on the drive, you don't want a situation like the Tyreek Hill situation. Remember when they reached on Mecole Hardman? They reached on him in a panic move because they didn't have him. They had to do something, so they get Mecole Hardman. I do feel that these receivers are better than Mecole Hardman. I don't see it as a panic move. I see this as a move of necessity, what they need to do.
Yeah, I don't think if they move up in the first round, that's a panic move. I think that's assessing the risk of you not getting a position in need and you making making the calculation that, hey, we need to move up to get the kind of guy we want. And to be honest, I'll say this. If Brian Thomas Jr. makes it past 18 where the Bengals are picking, the Chiefs should be calling the Rams immediately and making a move. And the Chiefs probably should be calling the Jags at 17 and trying to make a move up to get ahead of the Bengals and make a play. That, to me, like 17, 19, 27, those are the three spots in the first round I would look at for the Chiefs to move up. And I think that if you can get ahead of the Bengals and go grab yourself a wide receiver like a Brian Thomas Jr., or if they like Worthier A.D. Mitchell more than Brian Thomas Jr., go get them. But I definitely think you want...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to be aggressive in going out and getting wideouts, in getting a wideout in the first round, just because I just think that you look at that situation and you want to make sure that that wide receiver position is a strength for the next few years. You don't want to be in a situation next year where you're having to now draft another wide receiver because Hollywood left, got paid by someone else, and now you don't have anyone to pair with Rashi Rice.
That's the thing. More and more teams, instead of, that's why free agency, we didn't see this, you know, all-out wide receiver blitz. There wasn't that much talent, but you didn't see what you saw last year because people look at this draft and think, okay, this draft wide receivers is much, much better. Don't forget, the two best rookie wide receivers last year was a fifth-rounder in Puka Nacua and a second-rounder in Rashi Rice. It wasn't first-round receivers last year that made a damage. It will be this year. Deontay Johnson, the Steelers, they wouldn't deal with the Chiefs. Stephon Diggs allegedly was told you can will deal you at any team except for the Chiefs. And I do believe him because they did trade him to a quasi-tier one team in the Houston Texans, making them better. So you can rule out competitive teams in the AFC to do business with the Chiefs. Now, these NFC teams that don't really stand a chance, okay? Minnesota Vikings been very creative with the Chiefs. They've been very good trade partners with the Chiefs. I think they have their eyes on moving up for a quarterback, so they may be out of the equation. The Seahawks are a team like that. The Buccaneers, I could see the Chiefs doing some business with, but I think most of the teams the Chiefs will do business with are non-competitive AFC teams. And believe it or not, a team they traded with twice last year, the New England Patriots, I think the Patriots still become a team that would do business with the Chiefs because they have in the past.
Yeah, I think certainly there probably are a few AFC teams that would do business with the Chiefs. Not a ton. I mean, certainly most of the ones that are in playoff contention probably won't. I do think the Jags would just because of that relationship there. But yeah, I certainly don't think that the Bengals aren't going to do it. The Bills aren't going to do it. I'll be interested to see who, because I do think the Vikings are moving up, like you said. I think that 23rd overall pick they got from the Texans is definitely going to get moved. And it'll be interesting to see who gets that.
Yeah, they're getting the quarterback.
Because it wouldn't shock me if they traded those two picks to Washington in addition to maybe another first round pick next year. And they go and get Drake May at second overall. And I think Washington would be more than willing to move back from 23rd if they're really dead set on not taking a quarterback there. I do think they'd be really interested in moving back a little bit and getting some more picks so they can build out their roster. And I think that would work out really well for them. And if you do that, I think you're in good position to get a kind of wide receiver. You're probably for sure going to be able to get either A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy, maybe Brian Thomas Jr. But like I said, I'm not confident Brian Thomas Jr. makes it past 18 with the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm with you on that. It looks like the text line's already been drinking, Chris. Past Chris and I had drinks. Brock Bowers, they say he's going to be there
at 32. At 32?
No, that is a wrong answer.
There's no way.
And then also, 913, surprised Andy hasn't taken any late developmental quarterbacks in the draft. That's true, because you would think, okay, who's he going to take? But again, it's not his job to develop a quarterback. This is why he likes the Nick Foles of the world.
This is why
he likes Chad Henne and Matt Moore. This is why he likes Blaine Gabbert. This is why he likes Carson Wentz. He should not have to develop a quarterback because it's a waste of time. Like Shane Buechele last year. Yeah, he had a great preseason, but it's not his job to develop quarterbacks. Why? Because if he develops quarterbacks, they're going to end up with another team to face the Kansas City Chiefs at some point. Already get a quarterback. It's a veteran player. That's what he wants. He wants that guy like Chad Henne, 98-yard drive against the Jags. You go in there, don't pee down your leg, and score a touchdown. That's exactly what they did. That's exactly what he wants. I think the Chiefs have an outstanding 1-2 punch at quarterback. It is interesting. Tom Brady said that he might come back if someone gives a call late in the season. It's what are you doing, Tom?
I'm not buying that.
What are you doing there, Tom? What are you doing there? But anyway, we got Chad Ryder on from NFL.com, one of our favorite draft guys. He'll be joining us at 7:30, 7 o'clock. Another one of our guys, Josh Edwards from CBS Sports, joins us. And Ron Kopp, local angle from Arrowhead Pride, comes on at 8 o'clock. Chris and I, Character Concerns. This will be podcasted Character Concerns too, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Character Concerns page.
Where else would we put it?
Well, you wouldn't put it anywhere. It's where you put it. That's good. Good job. Good job by you. 610sports.com, 435 Podcast Network, Character Concerns. We did our mock draft 2.0 Chiefs mock this week. We released it on Tuesday. We do it Monday, release it Tuesday. It'll re-air on Saturday. This, a live show. Someone asked if we're live tonight. Yes, we're 100% live tonight.
Yeah, we recorded this Monday. We knew exactly you were going to text that question.
And the Royals are going to win 7 in a row, and Bobby Witt Jr. is going to hit 2 home runs on Thursday.
Yeah.
Guarantee it.
Yeah, he hit a 3-run homer.
I guarantee he's
going to hit a 3-run homer in the game on
Thursday. And Vinny's going to turn his season around and have 8 ribs.
Yeah, he's going to have a great Wednesday and Thursday.
You and I are nails, man. You and I are nails. Anyway, we'll take a timeout. Confidence in Brett Veach at 913-586-7610, the J Southland Tow Service text line. What is your confidence in Veach? I'll explain something kind of mind-blowing next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday morning starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special. The Character Concerns crew, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. If you're wondering where we get the name Character Concerns, it's because some players have character concerns. And the host of the show definitely has character concerns. Both of us do at this point. But the confidence in Brett Veach, where do you sit? Where do you sit right now? Because I know where you sat at the beginning of the year. You were freaking out. You were freaking out like, oh, no, they need a wide receiver. Can he get a wide receiver? You're going to have another Sky Moore situation. Then all of a sudden, Rashee Rice turned in to a different kind of dude carrying this team. And then, well, we don't know Rashee Rice's situation at this point. 0 to 10, Chris. Brett Veach confidence level with 10 being the highest.
10. I mean, 22 was... That's all you need. That's all the evidence you needed was 22. Even last year's
was
pretty good.
Cue the Bob Fesco, Brett Veach tale, right?
Yeah, I think when you look at the last couple drafts, it's hard to not have confidence in Veach. Really, what position are you worried about him drafting? Like a wide receiver? Rashee Rice. You know, a lot of people were worried about edge rusher going into 22. George Karloftis. A lot of people worried about corners.
By the way, he had the same amount of sacks as Nick Bosa this year.
Yeah, and then you look at the corners, you know. I mean, they're good at corner, even without Snead. They got a lot of depth at corner right now.
How about a first-team All-Pro?
Yeah. I'm just like, where would be the weakness? Like, that's my thing. It's like, where's the weakness as far as him? Because you can't say edge rusher. You can't say offensive line. You can't say defensive line. You can't say receiver. Can't say running back. Can't say DB. So it's like, if you're trying to point out a weakness, you're reaching with him. That doesn't mean that he's not gonna have some misses.
Everybody misses.
Yeah, they could absolutely whiff on their first round pick. It happens. That's part of drafting. It absolutely happens. And like the one thing you'll hear people bring up is like Breland Speaks, even though that was 2018 and doesn't matter anymore. But like he's definitely more than made up for the Breland Speaks pick. So it's like at this point now, it's like until he has a bad run as a drafter, I don't really see any reason to doubt that he's going to be able to acquire the kind of players that the team needs in order to keep this streak going.
I'm with you on a 10, and Brett Veach is a 10. And we've done this and looked at this going in the last year, 20 of the last 21 draft picks, that was all of them, were on this team, except for Bo Peak. He's that, I mean, that's the only general manager can say that in all of the NFL. Now, and you'd say, well, it's, draft picks have to make the roster because they need, well, but no other team's racking up the Super Bowls like the Chiefs, so it's a little bit different. And that's even through the COVID years, where they didn't have the combine. Medicals were coming in the day of the draft, and it wasn't good. But you take guys, and you realize, okay, we need to worry about other things in the draft, so we'll bring back Mike Dana, Derek Nnadi, Mike Pinnell. You bring the Turk Wharton. You bring these guys back, and of Chris Jones. Because basically, you had Neil Farrell was the only guy on the defensive line under contract except for the edge rushers for the Chiefs. But they said, you know what, we'll bring these guys back. They did a great job. They know the system. Look at Mike Pinnell. They put him on the practice squad last year, wasn't on the team last year. He made a great run to the playoffs. And then you have to take guys and flip them and make them into something special. Mike Dana, fifth-round pick. Didn't even go to the combine, by the way. He throws the dart on the fifth-round pick. Mike Dana's probably a fringe first-rounder, second-rounder if you read the draft. L'Jarius Sneed.
I don't know about first-round. Probably third-round.
At least second. I think 6.5 sacks get you in the second
probably
round.
Probably a third-round.
But we disagree.
I mean, he's way undersized.
But he's got a relentless motor, and I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but he's a rotational guy.
But anyway, Sneed, fourth-round pick, and look at the way they turned him. One of the best corners in the NFL last year. Pacheco, leading rusher. People consider him about the sixth or seventh best running back in the NFL. Seventh-round pick. Trey Smith in the sixth round. Look at what he's doing. He's getting value for these guys that could be. Because L'Jarius Sneed was picked in the fourth round. He's a first-rounder right now. Trey Smith, a first-rounder right now, and he was picked in the sixth. Pacheco's probably going fourth round at this point instead of seventh. So he's
probably second, I think.
He's picking all these guys, and they're doing damage. Now, here's the thing. If I was going to ask you, Chris, and you've seen the answer, so I won't ask you. I'll ask the text line. How many starters on this Super Bowl team last year were first-round picks? It's crazy. It's crazy because the Chiefs are winning with less. And how you win with less is win through the draft. The Chiefs had one player on offense last year that was a starter, that was a first-round pick. His name was Patrick Mahomes. That's it. Nobody on this offensive line, any of the starters, was a first-round pick. Donovan Smith, second-round pick. Tooney, third-round pick. Creed Humphrey, second-round pick. Trey Smith, sixth-round pick. Jawan Taylor was second-round pick, I do believe. Pacheco, seventh-round pick. Travis Kelce, third-round pick. They did more with less. One player was a first-round pick. No other teams that win can say that. On the defense, Trent McDuffie, George Karloftis. Chris Jones was not a first-round pick, second-round pick. They had three first-round picks out of 22 starters on this team. That is insanity. This year they had an extra one because Hollywood Brown was a former first-round pick. And so they got two starters now as first-round picks.
But they didn't draft him, so.
They didn't draft him. I'm not counting Kadarius Toney either because he wasn't drafted by Chiefs, and he's not a starter. So I'm not counting. But they had three starters that were first-round picks. That's insane, Chris. That is insane for a team doing rebuilding without saying they're doing rebuilding to have that and have the five rookie defensive backs playing that Super Bowl versus the Eagles. But find another team that's racked up three Super Bowls in 5 years with three starters that are first-round picks. Doesn't happen.
2 years ago, we were sitting here in the studio, day three of the 22 draft, and I think we were both really excited about that draft, and we looked at all the players that they had acquired, and we were just like, man, this could end up being one of the best draft classes that we've seen for this team ever, if not the best, because you just look at the kind of impact players that the kind of talent that they had, and then most of those guys turn into impact players for the team, and you know, you immediately like got yourself a really good corner in McDuffie, got yourself a really good edge rusher in George Karloftis. You got Leo Chanel, who's one of the best run-defending linebackers in the league the last 2 years. Brian Cook immediately came in and was playing at starter caliber as a safety for them. Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson immediately starting caliber corners for them as rookies. Both of those guys, third-day picks. There was just a lot of value they found out of that. When you're able to get a seventh round running back, a seventh round starting corner, a fourth round starting corner,
and called a shot on it, I mean, we go seventh rounder undrafted and get our guy.
Yeah, and like the fact that you can do that. There's a lot of teams that'll take guys on the third day, and those guys won't even make the team. And they're finding starters off of that. That's like, seriously, that 22 draft, if they really like use that draft and the subsequent drafts as fuel to, you know, have a, you know, continue the dynasty and have another like long dynastic run like we've seen, that 22 draft, I think, is going to be talked about. Like, you know, they're going to do like the Last Dance type documentary on the Chiefs. That 22 draft is going to be a major part of the story because of how important it was to allowing the Chiefs to turn what looked like maybe a 3-year window where they compete and then they start to fall off into that true dynasty that we were hoping that they would do. And I just can't understate how 2 years ago we were sitting here and we were really excited about what they got. And it turned out to be even better than I think we even thought it was going to be by the end of that year.
Last or 2 years ago was a draft for necessity. They needed those guys. They needed those five. Like even Nazi Johnson, that played a lot of special teams for Chiefs, they needed five rookie defensive backs and a seventh-round pick to be do damage as a running back. They needed that. Last year was more about luxury. See what you got. See what Wanya Morris is going to be developing in the future. Shamari Connor. What do you have in Shamari Connor besides being a good special teams player? Right now, Brett Veach is under the first half teams. We look at the teams as far as cap is concerned next year, so he's doing a good job there, and you are able to do that because you have these draft picks in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round that you turn into players, but eventually you got to pay him, and then that becomes kind of a problem. But he's doing a great job. And by the way, Rashee Rice finished number 2 in the NFL rookie wide receivers in catches and yards. Only Puka Nacua was ahead of him for rookie wide receivers. And okay, I'm putting an asterisk on that with the Rams because he was the third fifth-round pick by the Los Angeles Rams that year. So would not have been their third fifth-round pick if they knew how good he was going to be. But coming up next, Chris, yes, I looked at 41 mock drafts. People said, how do you look at 41 mock drafts? Well, it's very easy. Chris does it. I do it all the time. We put 41 drafts. Who are people saying the Chiefs are going with at 32? Plus, I want to hear who you're going with at 32 as well. 913-586-7610, J Southland Tow Service text line.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns crew, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. By the way, the attendees that have committed to going to the NFL draft in Detroit, Terrion Arnold, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., J.C. Latham, Leetu Latu, Drake May, Quinyon Mitchell, Malik Nabers, Romo Dunze, Darius Robinson, Brian Thomas Jr., Dallas Turner, Caleb Williams. Don't forget it was last year where Will Levis, who was drafted 33rd, decided to leave after the first night. Didn't want to hang around for the second night. He left.
I don't blame him, man.
When did Joey Porter Jr. left as well? And he was picked.
He was picked at 33rd. So, yeah.
Yeah, Will Levis got out of town.
32nd, actually. 32nd.
Will Levis got out of town.
I think this is probably, unless you're like guaranteed top 10, there's going to be a lot more players sitting in that fringe first round range that are just going to be at home because it's embarrassing for you to be there in the lobby, in the green room there, and you don't get it picked in the first round. It's embarrassing as hell. Like, we obviously see the images with Rodgers and with Brady Quinn and Geno Smith. So nobody wants to be those guys. Nobody wants to be the guy that, you know, they, whenever you play, they show that video clip of you sitting there in the green room looking all sad because everyone's getting picked in front of you. I do not blame any of these players for being like, yeah, actually, I'd rather be at home with my friends and family and celebrate there.
Looked at 41 mock drafts from CBS to Walter Football to ESPN, Pro Football Focus, you name it. By the way, Mel Kiper came out with his mock draft, and he has the Chiefs going Xavier Leggett, the 4.39 big-bodied receiver from South Carolina in the first round. Out of the 41, A.D. Mitchell, selected four times. It's been a popular pick with the Chiefs.
Yes, but he's probably been the most popular pick as of late.
But not right now. Xavier Worthy, seven times.
Wow.
Was mocked to the Kansas City
Chiefs.
That makes
sense. That makes sense.
Brian Thomas Jr., actually three times mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs. Keon Coleman once. Ennis Rakestraw Jr., by the way, from the University of Missouri, picked three times, believe it or not. And Jordan Morgan, the left tackle, will probably play guard in the NFL, picked two times. And the leader in the clubhouse out of these 41 mock drafts, Ladd McConkey, to the Kansas City Chiefs at pick 32. That was the consensus pick out of the 41 that we looked at. We'll talk to some guys that do this. Chad Ryder from NFL.com had the Chiefs trading up to get Xavier Worthy. Get his opinion on that. Josh Edwards at this point likes the Kansas City Chiefs to go wide receiver. Did have him going defensive back, but that has now changed with Josh Edwards' latest mock draft. And so we'll talk to him. He has Jalen Polk, one of the trio from the University of Washington with Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan, and, of course, Romo Dunze going to first round. He did have corner. Now he has switched it to Jalen Polk, which is interesting. Not many people are going Jalen Polk in the first round. The converted Texas Tech receiver, or transferred receiver, not converted, goes Jalen Polk. We'll talk to him. Ron Kopp we'll talk to later in the program. But Josh Edwards, we'll talk at about 7 o'clock, Chad Ryder at 7:30. Any shock there, Chris, that Xavier Leggett would be Mel Kiper's pick and Ladd McConkey would be the overall Chiefs selection first-round pick?
So I'm not shocked with any of the receiver picks, even Leggett, because I have seen Leggett mocked to the Chiefs late in the first round, even before the Super Bowl, like even at like 29 or 25, there were some people that were mocking Leggett to the Chiefs. My thing with Leggett is, like, I kind of feel like the physical profile that we raved about when he was in college probably was a little bit over exaggerated. Like, he's a good athlete, but he's not the elite athlete at the level of, like, some of the other guys like AD or, I mean, even like in a, obviously the top three guys, you know, Harrison Neighbors and Odunze, he's not up there. Or I don't think he's up there with Thomas, Worthy, or Mitchell. I think he's a good athlete, but I don't think he pops the way that those top six guys do. And I don't think he was as clean as like a Ladd McConkey. Like, you watch Ladd McConkey and, like, he's very technically sound, really. He's a route technician, as we talked about pretty heavily during the Senior Bowl when he was really showing out and he was the best receiver there. You know, like, I don't think Leggett's a bad player. I don't think it would be a terrible pick. I mean, I just think there are better picks at wide receiver for them. And if you're going to take Leggett, you could probably get him at 64. So I don't know if you need to use your 32nd overall pick to go get him. Like, I think he's a mid to late second rounder.
Text line likes Keon Coleman. There was one mock draft that had Keon Coleman going to Kansas City Chiefs. 6'4 receiver, ended up being about 6'3 at the combine. He's interesting, though, because he reminds me of Puka. Puka runs a 4.57 40 last year. Keon Coleman ran the slowest 40 at the combine at 4.61. But the gauntlet drill, where the guys run sideline to sideline, turning around, catching the football, Puka ran the fastest gauntlet last year. Keon Coleman ran the fastest gauntlet this year, and he was actually faster in the gauntlet than Puka Nacua was, so he's had the fastest gauntlet from the last 2 years because they use these GPS tracking devices. Also, one of two receivers to hit over 20 miles an hour on his vertical route, showing he's got more game speed than actual 40-time speed. But Keon Coleman's a guy we really liked throughout the season when we took a look at his in-season matchups because of who he was, and we followed Keon a lot. But that slow 40 time, unless we disregard that and go straight with the GPS next-gen stats technology.
I think that stuff, it's, I mean, Puka wasn't fast. Like, he's like a 4.5 40 guy. Like,
4.57, yeah.
Yeah, he's not super fast. Like, that's just how it is.
But the gauntlet, he was. He was the fastest.
But that doesn't matter. Like,
I think it does matter.
It does not matter.
Keon, well, it does not matter. He turned it to set a record.
Puka was good because he was a very good. He's a very good route runner. It's not because he's fast at the gauntlet. It's because he's a very good route runner and he's very good at making contested catches. That's why he was good, not because he ran the gauntlet well. But the thing about Keon Coleman is that we just didn't see that kind of a game from him like we did with Puka. Whereas, like, you watch Keon Coleman out there, he's very much like a I would say his game's very similar to Rashee Rice's. But, like, my thing is that I just don't see, like, a great ability to beat man coverage like that. And he's a big body guy, but, like, do we really need another guy like that? I kind of want to go for the deep threat guy, the guy that's going to stretch out
the
defense.
Keon's a great yard after catch guy. You can trust in punt returns, but it's not that game breaker like Walker.
Yeah, he's not a guy that you're going to send on a nine route. He's going to beat the guy straight up and then, you know, catch one over the shoulder down the sidelines. That's just not who he is.
I ran a Pro Football Focus draft, and right now the selections you could get: Ladd McConkey, Troy Franklin, very similar to when we did this. Keon Coleman, Jalen Polk, Xavier Leggett was that group at 32 that you could get. Because I just ran it right now, and that's kind of what we're looking at. I think that's pretty accurate.
That's pretty accurate, and that's the reason why I've been advocating for it. I think you agree with it as well. Moving up at least to 27 should definitely be on the menu, and probably maybe 23. Maybe 17, maybe 19. Like, I just think that you go for impact wide receiver that you have control over for 5 years, and you don't have to worry about drafting that position high for the next few years. You could still supplement in the later rounds, but you don't have to take a receiver in the first round the next few years. If you get a first round receiver this year, the guy turns out to be good, and now you got him, you got Rashee, you got this nice combo there in your receiving core. Now you can just supplement the position as opposed to having to use premium picks for it.
The Jets picked 10th, the Broncos 12th. They were at the Brock Bowers Pro Day where he did run the drills. Now, if he does slip and the Chiefs are sitting there looking at 17, that's the Jacksonville Jaguars that hold 17, one spot ahead of where the Cincinnati Bengals pick. The Buffalo Bills pick 28th. Obviously, they're going to be in the market for a receiver. They don't want to get screwed by the Chiefs again because twice they've got them with the Mahomes pick and then jumping ahead of them getting Trent McDuffie where they had to settle for Kyler Elam, who can barely get on the field.
He lost his starting job very quickly. Yeah,
coming up next,
Buffalo.
And it's a Florida guy. It pains you to say that.
No, I didn't. I didn't think he was going to be good. I thought he was overrated.
Coming up next, our mock draft that we did this week. Explain the picks that we made and why next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And welcome back to 610 Sports Radio's Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero from Character Concerns. Text line 913 says, look at the Keon Coleman versus Clemson. And Nate Wiggins was there. He wasn't always on him, but hey, Florida State receivers 8. Johnny Wilson, 5 for 94 in that game. Keon Coleman against Clemson, 5 for 86, but 2 touchdowns in that game. Chris, you had some decisions to make instead of Ladd McConkey, instead of Troy Franklin. You had the pick this week as far as the Chiefs are concerned. You go a guy that a lot of people don't have in the first round, but they did early on. Had the drops in the case of the drops at the Senior Bowl, but one of those real vertical threats that can get down the field in Devontae Walker.
Yeah, I like Tez. I think Tez has the athleticism to be a great receiver. The question is going to be, obviously, dedication to the craft, coaching, you know, how is he going to be able to build the chemistry up with Mahomes?
Getting down the camp, Pat.
He does have some issues with single man coverage. We saw that at the Senior Bowl, but I think he's got the athleticism. I think he's got the ability, the speed, the ability to make cuts to do that. I think he can be a great, you know, man coverage receiver. I just think the issue is he was playing in the MAC for a long time.
And then he goes to North Carolina, and he only plays there 1 year. And like,
he had to sit the first couple games.
He had to sit like four games, I think. So
because the NCAA is dumb.
So, like, that's the big reason why his production wasn't up there, why he didn't quite take the strides that I think everyone hoped he would take when he was playing there. But I just, for me, the physical profile. I think if he can kind of get out of his own head as far as the drops goes, because he had a drop issue at the Senior Bowl, I think there's a lot that the Chiefs could do with him, and I think he'd be a really interesting prospect for the Chiefs in the first round.
In the second round, I go addressed offensive line, thought about Cooper Beebe to be a guard for the Chiefs. Went Christian Haynes. I do think he'll be time. We put 41 draft. Who are people saying the Chiefs are going with at 32? Plus, I want to hear who you're going with at 32 as well. 913-586-7610, J Southland Tow Service text line.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns crew, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. By the way, the attendees that have committed to going to the NFL Draft in Detroit, Terrion Arnold, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., J.C. Latham, Leetu Latu, Drake May, Quinyon Mitchell, Malik Nabers, Romo Dunze, Darius Robinson, Brian Thomas Jr., Dallas Turner, Caleb Williams. Don't forget it was last year where Will Levis, who was drafted 33rd, decided to leave after the first night. Didn't want to hang around for the second night. He left.
I don't blame him, man.
When did Joey Porter Jr. left as well? And he was picked.
He was picked at 33rd. So, yeah.
Will Levis got out of town.
32nd, actually. 32nd.
Will Levis got out of town.
I think this is probably, unless you're like guaranteed top 10, there's going to be a lot more players sitting in that fringe first round range that are just going to be at home because it's embarrassing for you to be there in the lobby, in the green room there, and you don't get it picked in the first round. It's embarrassing as hell. Like, we obviously see the images with Rodgers and with Brady Quinn and Geno Smith. So nobody wants to be those guys. Nobody wants to be the guy that, you know, whenever you play, they show that video clip of you sitting there in the green room looking all sad because everyone's getting picked in front of you. I do not blame any of these players for being like, yeah, actually, I'd rather be at home with my friends and family and celebrate there.
Looked at 41 mock drafts from CBS to Walter Football to ESPN, Pro Football Focus, you name it. By the way, Mel Kiper came out with his mock draft, and he has the Chiefs going Xavier Leggett, the 4.39 big-bodied receiver from South Carolina in the first round. Out of the 41, A.D. Mitchell, selected four times. It's been a popular pick with the Chiefs.
Yes, but he's probably been the most popular pick as of late.
But not right now. Xavier Worthy, seven times.
Wow.
Was mocked to the Kansas City
Chiefs.
Makes
sense.
Out of these 41.
That makes sense.
Brian Thomas Jr., actually three times mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs. Keon Coleman once. Ennis Rakestraw Jr., by the way, from the University of Missouri, picked three times, believe it or not. And Jordan Morgan, the left tackle, will probably play guard in the NFL, picked two times. And the leader in the clubhouse out of these 41 mock drafts, Ladd McConkey, to the Kansas City Chiefs at pick 32. That was the consensus pick out of the 41 that we looked at. We'll talk to some guys that do this. Chad Ryder from NFL.com had the Chiefs trading up to get Xavier Worthy. Get his opinion on that. Josh Edwards at this point likes the Kansas City Chiefs to go wide receiver. Did have him going defensive back, but that has now changed with Josh Edwards' latest mock draft. And so we'll talk to him. He has Jalen Polk, one of the trio from the University of Washington, with Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan, and, of course, Romo Dunze going to first round. He did have corner. Now he has switched it to Jalen Polk, which is interesting. Not many people are going Jalen Polk in the first round. The converted Texas Tech receiver, or transferred receiver, not converted, goes Jalen Polk. We'll talk to him. Ron Kopp we'll talk to later in the program, but Josh Edwards we'll talk. At about 7 o'clock, Chad Ryder at 7:30. Any shock there, Chris, that that the Xavier Legette would be Mel Kiper's pick, and that Led McConkey would be the overall Chiefs selection first round pick.
So I'm not shocked with any of the receiver picks, even Legette, because I have seen Legette mocked to the Chiefs late in the first round, even before the Super Bowl, like even at like 29 or 25, there were some people that were mocking Legette to the Chiefs. My thing with Legette is like, I kind of feel like the physical profile that we raved about when he was in college probably was a little bit over exaggerated. Like, he's a good athlete, but he's not the elite athlete at the level of like some of the other guys like AD, or I mean, even like in a, obviously the top three guys, you know, Harrison Neighbors and Odunze, he's not up there, or I don't think he's up there with Thomas, Worthy, or Mitchell. I think he's a good athlete, but I don't think he pops the way that those top six guys do. And I don't think he was as clean as like a Ladd McConkey. Like, you watch Ladd McConkey and like, he's very technically sound, really. He's a route technician, as we talked about pretty heavily during the Senior Bowl when he was really showing out and he was the best receiver there. You know, like, I don't think Legette's a bad player. I don't think it would be a terrible pick. I mean, I just think there are better picks at wide receiver for them. And if you're going to take Legette, you could probably get him at 64. So I don't know if you need to use your 32nd overall pick to go get him. Like, I think he's a mid to late second rounder.
Text line likes Keon Coleman. There was one mock draft that had Keon Coleman going to Kansas City Chiefs. 6'4 receiver. Ended up being about 6'3 at the combine. He's interesting, though, because he reminds me of Puka. Puka runs a 4.57 40 last year. Keon Coleman ran the slowest 40 at the combine at 4.61. But the gauntlet drill, where the guys run sideline to sideline, turning around, catching the football, Puka ran the fastest gauntlet last year. Keon Coleman ran the fastest gauntlet this year, and he was actually faster in the gauntlet than Puka Nacua was. So he's had the fastest gauntlet from the last 2 years because they use these GPS tracking devices. Also, one of two receivers to hit over 20 miles an hour on his vertical route, showing he's got more game speed than actual 40 times speed. But Keon Coleman is a guy we really liked throughout the season when we took a look at his in-season matchups because of who he was, and we followed Keon a lot. But that slow 40 time, unless we disregard that and go straight with the GPS next-gen stats technology.
I think that stuff, Puka wasn't fast. Like, he's like a 4.5 40 guy. Like,
4.57, yeah.
Yeah, he's not super fast. Like, that's just how it is.
But the gauntlet, he was the fastest.
But that doesn't matter. Like,
It does not matter.
Puka was good because he was he's a very good route runner. It's not because he's fast at the gauntlet. It's because he's a very good route runner, and he's very good at making contested catches. That's why he was good, not because he ran the gauntlet well. But the thing about Keon Coleman is that we just didn't see that kind of a game from him like we did with Puka. Whereas, like, you watch Keon Coleman out there, he's very much like a – he's kind – I mean, I would say his game's very similar to Rashee Rice's. But, like, my thing is that I just don't see, like, a great ability to beat man coverage like that. And he's a big body guy, but, like, do we really need another guy like that? I kind of want to go for the deep threat guy, the guy that's going to stretch out the
defense.
Keon's
a great yard-after-catch guy. You can trust in punt returns, but it's not that game-breaker like Walker.
Yeah, he's not a guy that you're going to send on a 9 route. He's going to beat the guy straight up and then, you know, catch one over the shoulder down the sidelines. That's just not who he is.
I ran a Pro Football Focus draft, and right now the selections you could get, Ladd McConkey, Troy Franklin, very similar to when we did this.
Yeah, yeah.
Keon Coleman, Jalen Polk, Xavier Legette was that group at 32
right.
that you could get. Because I just ran it right now, and that's kind of what we're looking at. And I think that's pretty accurate.
That's pretty accurate, and that's the reason why I've been advocating for it. I think you agree with it as well. Moving up at least to 27 should definitely be on the menu, and probably maybe 23. Maybe 17, maybe 19. Like, I just think that you go for impact wide receiver that you have control over for 5 years, and you don't have to worry about drafting that position high for the next few years. You could still supplement in the later rounds, but you don't have to take a receiver in the first round the next few years. If you get a first-round receiver this year, the guy turns out to be good, and now you got him, and you got Rashi, you got this nice combo there in your receiving core, now you can just supplement the position as opposed to having to use premium picks for it.
The Jets picked 10th, the Broncos 12th. They were at the Brock Bowers Pro Day where he did run the drills. Now, if he does slip and the Chiefs are sitting there looking at 17, that's the Jacksonville Jaguars that hold 17, one spot ahead of where the Cincinnati Bengals pick. The Buffalo Bills pick 28th. Obviously, they're going to be in the market for a receiver. They don't want to get screwed by the Chiefs again because twice they've got them with the Mahomes pick and then jumping ahead of them, getting Trent McDuffie where they had to settle for Kyrie Elam, who can barely get on the field.
He lost his starting job very quickly. Yeah,
coming up
in
next,
Buffalo.
And yeah, it's a Florida guy. It pains you to say that.
No, I didn't. I didn't think he was going to be good. I thought he was overrated.
Coming up next, our mock draft that we did this week. Explain the picks that we made and why next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And welcome back to 610 Sports Radio's Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero from Character Concerns. Text line 913 says, look at the Keon Coleman versus Clemson. And Nate Wiggins was there. He wasn't always on him, but hey, Florida State receivers 8. Johnny Wilson, 5 for 94 in that game. Keon Coleman against Clemson, 5 for 86, but 2 touchdowns in that game. Chris, you had some decisions to make instead of Ladd McConkey, instead of Troy Franklin. You had the pick this week as far as the Chiefs are concerned. You go a guy that a lot of people don't have in the first round, but they did early on. Had the drops in the case of the drops at the Senior Bowl, but one of those real vertical threats that can get down the field in Devontae Walker.
Yeah, I like Tez. I think Tez has the athleticism to be a great receiver. The question is going to be, obviously, dedication to the craft, coaching, you know, how is he going to be able to build the chemistry up with Mahomes?
Getting down the camp, Pat.
He does have some issues with single man coverage. We saw that at the Senior Bowl, but I think he's got the athleticism. I think he's got the ability, the speed, the ability to make cuts to do that. I think he can be a great, you know, man coverage receiver. I just think the issue is he was playing in the MAC for a long time, and then he goes to North Carolina, and he only plays there 1 year. And like,
he had to sit the first couple games.
He had to sit like 4 games, I think. So
because the NCAA's dumb.
So like, that's the big reason why his production wasn't up there, why he didn't quite take the strides that I think everyone hoped he would take when he was playing there. But I just, for me, the physical profile. I think if he can kind of get out of his own head as far as the drops goes, because he had a drop issue at the Senior Bowl, I think there's a lot that the Chiefs could do with him, and I think he'd be a really interesting prospect for the Chiefs in the first round.
In the second round, I go addressed offensive line, about Cooper Beebe to be a guard for the Chiefs. Went Christian Haynes. I do think he'll be a decent guard in the National Football League. 33-inch arms, 33.5-inch arms, which tad short for being a tackle-eligible guy, obviously. But
he's not going to play tackle.
He's not going to play good. He's a guard. He's 6'3", 317.
And look, all the teams out there want 33-inch arms at the very minimum for it. So,
and he's fine because the guard.
He's good.
They're going to have to see what's going to happen the following year with Tooney, with Trey Smith.
I was a big fan of the pick.
But I go him in the second round. The third round, you had the selection. You go offensive line as well.
I went Dominic Pooney, tackle at Kansas, but I don't think he's a tackle. I think he's going to be a guard. This is a guy that he moved around, played different positions. When he was at KU, he did play a lot of left tackle and left guard. I think he played more snaps at left guard than left tackle. But I think he's a guy that he's kind of like a Jeff Allen type, where Jeff Allen was a tackle. He was a left tackle at Illinois, moved inside to guard. He was a very good guard for the league in the league for a few years. I think he played here. I think he played in Houston and then came back here. And yeah, he definitely was good. And I think you could get that from Pooney. And I just think this year you got to get at least one guard, but because they were so aggressive at going and getting defensive line this year, I normally would have taken defensive line, but I think now you want to go offensive line and you want to kind of branch out and take care of future needs, which I think are going to be both of your guard positions in a year.
That's round one through three that we did this week. As far as mock drafts, we'll do, of course, more and more as we get closer to the draft. We'll go through round four through seven. Don't forget they have the first pick in the seventh round now because of the L'Jarius Sneed trade. It's pick 221. It's the first pick in the seventh round. Instead of picking fifth from last in the draft, they bump up to 221 in that pick swap with the Tennessee Titans. We'll get to that. But coming up next, from CBS Sports, has his latest mock draft out as we look at the national perspective now. Who are the Chiefs going to take? Talk to Josh Edwards next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.